Good morning. Do you know this is a special Sunday? Do you know what it's called? This is called Winter, the sequel. We welcome you to worship. This is not original to me, but I thought it was appropriate and it fit. Someone said that a lot of people today say they don't really want to be involved with organized religion. That's not a problem here. We are not at all organized or prepared or straightforward. So, by way of announcements, the back of the bulletin has some of the things going on, relatively routine week coming up. One change that's not listed there because we didn't know is that the clothing giveaway was this last weekend, and with the weather, a lot of people weren't sure if it was on, and so we didn't get as many people here as we expected. So that will be continued till next week. So if you know people who are in need or are looking for, let's spread that word around. Clothing giveaway this coming Saturday as well. Other things, what other things do we need to announce this morning as we're coming and gathering and preparing ourselves in worship? Anything for the good of the order? I don't see anything. So as we are about this, take a breath, turn to God. Let us be in worship. Stand if you will. Greet one another. Come on, that dog.
You don't have how much time. You can stay down for this one. Please join us in the call to worship that can be found in your bulletin or on the screen up front. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, from our Savior Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit, our constant companion.
Grace to you.
May God join us here now in the Holy Spirit among us. Come, men and women, boys and girls, come and sit at the feet of the teacher. It is God who made us. We belong to God. We are God's children, the sheep of God's pasture. Please remain standing for the hymn.
That's found in the small hymnal if you need to use the hymnal on page 2036.
I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich.
introduce it, okay? The first scripture reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 6 through 10 and 19 through 20, and it could be found in the New Testament of the Pew Bible on page 183.
Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be associated with them. For once you were darkness, and now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
How about that, Miss Bella? Amen. Well done. We were actually prepared to have a little stool for her to stand on, but she doesn't need it. She's grown a little bit since the last week since I saw her. We celebrate that. By way of our time of prayers and concerns, we shared the news that Roger Casper passed. Rosie said he went peacefully. She is shattered, as we would expect, 45 years married. I do not have any news about any arrangements. We will let you know those as we find them. But life and death and life again in Jesus Christ, we give thanks. Richard Schneer is here, and he said he is doing much better. I don't know The COVID has been traveling around, and it is changing some, so masks are kind of at our own discretions as we proceed. But I pray for those who are most vulnerable. I pray for those who are isolating out of fear. And I pray for our health givers as we continue. Earl Pierce is back, Earl and Marianne, and Earl. We have to say thank you to both of them, because I know that he had a lot of help from his life partner there, so we are glad for all of that. There was other good news that someone was going to share this morning. Who was going to remind me? Well, whoever it was isn't here, and I'm not thinking of what it was. This is not organized religion, you understand. Michael, do we have a microphone to run over to Miss Diana Hunt? Yes, that would be Deb Gunther's notes. That's right.
Hi, Deb. Deb Gunther told me that shared with us that what do you call it? The crop walk. They earned over $300 from the restaurant, the Greek restaurant that you guys did last Wednesday. They gave us a big check. So, just to let you know.
Other good news, I was going to Friday, you remember Friday, it was summer. I was going to drive around and take pictures of all of the flowers so that you could see them before Mother Nature played her little trick on us. And she didn't. The flowers are still there. So it is beautiful outside, and I had in my rain gauge 1.3 inches of rain. Nice. Amen?
Amen.
This is life. This is water, and we are grateful. So we share all of that. Other special, other concerns or Diane, Michael, if Paya, I think Paya's her name, yes. I'm disorganized. Go ahead.
This is not a concern. It is praise and thanks to God and all of you and everybody around the Mountain Sky Conference who donated to the Tonga Relief fundraiser Friday night. We made over $37,000 Friday night. And so we praise God and thank you all.
Amen, amen. I asked Nalu, I said, how are they doing there? And he said, it's hard to get information. You have to buy internet time with a card, like a phone card. And they only have television, he said, from 8 in the morning till like 8 at night. They are not as connected to the world as we are. I'm moving there right away. I'm going. But they have a lot on their plate, and we do need to acknowledge that. So we're glad, and thank you for the Tongans for doing that, and the meal was spectacular, and all is good. I'm going to stall for just one second. You're going to not notice that I'm stalling, but I forgot to get the birthday list and put it right in front of me, so let's get that out here. What is today? 22nd? Neo has a birthday today. Pastor Neo Tulatau. Wendy Burvey having a birthday on Wednesday. And James Latau, James Latau is in the back. Let's see if he's waving his arms, but he's behind the glass, so we can't hear him shouting. Mr. James Latau, I understand you have a birthday coming up on Thursday.
I do.
I have it noted down that you will be 26 years old. No, that's wrong. It will be on the 26th.
I'll only be 79. Just a child.
You're how much?
79.
79 years young. Amen.
Soon to be 97.
Next Monday, this will be the 30th. Lucy Tolatau has a birthday. Yeah, I said Neo today. Didn't I already say that? This is what we call disorganized religion, you know, and we're family. Darren Casper on Sunday and Larry Contour on Sunday, or Larry and Ruella celebrating an anniversary on the Sunday the 5th, so we celebrate all of them. Any others? What other special celebrations, anniversaries? Michael, Ruby has her arm up about something. Yes, but we are streaming as always, so those people on the internet may not hear you as we hear you here, so that's why we use the microphone.
Okay, so I'll be extra loud.
All right.
Becca will be getting married on the 1st. We'll be having a shower downstairs for Becca. The grandkids are on their way in with her brother, and this is her fiance's mom and his grandma, right? She's actually great-grandma, and she's grandma.
Amen. Glad to have you with us, and congratulations. Richard, Mike, this is not organized religion, any way you look at it today. Richard Schneer. Nope, for the internet people? Yeah, thank you. All right.
Now can you hear me?
Yeah.
I just want to say, as soon as I leave this service today, I'm going to Byers, Colorado to help celebrate the graduation of our oldest grandchild.
So amen.
First of many.
First of many. Amen to that, and may there be many, 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 and we celebrate that. Mike, Paya now threw her arm up. She has something else to share.
We have a young girl here, Tupo Mapa. She's graduating on Tuesday, and unbeknownst to us, she's very quiet. She's graduating with honors, and we praise God.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, Po has been an absolute fixture here, and she is a dynamite young lady. Congratulations to her. Any others? Any others? I don't see any others, but we want to pause and celebrate those and acknowledge God's gift of this water in our midst, the lifeblood that is amongst, combining it with a time of celebrating life and death and new birth and new babies and growth. God is good. All the time, God is good. Our unison prayer. Lord God, hear our prayer. Lord God, we are always in need of your guidance. Help us to care for those near at hand and also those far away.
Transform us to become disciples and to become ever more faithful to you as we entrust our most precious loved ones to your healing presence. Have compassion on us and on them. Help us care for those invisible ones around us who are hurting and need your touch through us. Help us share your transforming love. Lord, thank you. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation. Loving Lord God, thank you for the beautiful rain, the snow, for the very weather that reminds us of the seasons and the beauty of your creation, the cycles of life and death and growth, of maturity, of wisdom, of the fall colors of winter and then of spring. Thank you for the flowers and the bees and the trees and for children laughing. Thank you for all that you give us, the very lives that we have, we owe to you. We have lifted concerns for those families who are hurting, who have lost loved ones. We lift the Caspers. We lift those who are struggling with aging. That's all of us, Lord, but you are with us. We struggle and pray for those who are in the midst of war and battles, conflicts, caught up in things beyond their ability to do anything about, victims. Lord, you are with them, and we give you thanks. Lord, we lift up our church. We lift up our church as a means of offering Christ to the world. And we ask that you guide and inspire us, that you aim us as a church to be those who would reach out in your name and your love, especially to a world fragmented, divided, angry, upset, afraid, a world in need of your love and care and balm. Lord, guide us. Lord, we give you thanks in all the ways that we gather. We give you thanks to the depths of our being for the food on our tables, the clothes on our back, the roofs over our head. And even as we grumble about the cost of things, we have plenty. You have provided. Lord, help us be aware of those less fortunate, that out of our abundance we share and reach out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hear us now, Lord, as we come and gather together in song and scripture and word and in prayer with the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we turn to the time of normally of our offering, we are no longer passing plates, but to be aware, this is also Peace with Justice Sunday. Pia, did we get inserts into the bulletins? I'm not sure that we did. But if you would be so kind to give generously to our special Sunday, Peace with Justice, that is my emphasis in my sermon. But we know that there are needs, and many of them are so far beyond us that we cannot reach out to them easily. But through our church and our connection, we can do that. And through the grace of God, we are able to reach Tonga. We are able to reach the Koreas. We are able to reach the Philippines and Africa and Denver, and all places. So we give thanks, and we give thanks for your returning the generosity that God has given to do the will and the work of Christ. I'm going to ask you all to stand as Bella joins us again and reads our scripture. This is from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 9.
After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once this man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was the Sabbath. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us sing lustily the wonderful words of life. It's page 600 in the hymnal.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life, all so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty.
I invite you to be seated. Somebody's excited about the sermon. You know, they say that a rough rehearsal will make for a good performance. Have you ever heard that? They say if you're in the theater and somebody's getting ready to go on stage, if you say good luck, it's actually bad luck. You're supposed to say break a leg. Have you heard them say that? They say if your palm itches, you're going to come into money. My mom told me that when I was a kid. All I've ever discovered that is when my palm itches, I have been in the poison ivy somewhere. Who is this they? They say this, they say that. They say that if you do something, you should knock on wood. That's what they say. They say you're supposed to throw salt over your shoulder. I don't know what that's for, and I don't carry salt around, and I've always felt remiss. I don't know what to do about it. All of these things, and this is what they say. I worked with in an engineering department in the city of Grand Junction, and the secretary, she had arthritis. So one day she said, "Oh, I feel so much better." She was spraying WD-40 on her joints and rubbing it in, and it worked. She felt better. She didn't realize it was the rubbing massaging that was doing it and that the WD-40 was actually a pollutant, but that's another story. They say that WD-40 works for that, so you have to be aware of This is my push against they says and the things. Before I was appointed here in this lovely place, that I was in Johnstown, Colorado. One day I got an email and said, quick, go buy gasoline. They're going to run out of gasoline in the next, 48 hours. There's going to be some kind of problem or whatever. And I thought, what in the world? And I happened to drive past where the gas station, cars lined up for miles to try and get into the gas station. There was never a shortage. There was never something. But somewhere, someone, some they had said, and the word had spread like a flame, like a fire through dry grass. They say this, they say that. Our entire society is getting wrapped up with they say this, they say that. Misinformation, lies, stolen elections, all of the different things that they say. And we have to be careful and pause. Are you like me, and a part of you wants that everything that is reported in the newspapers or on television or radio has to be very verifiably true? There's a part of me that just wants that to be a law. But a man by the name of Ben Franklin instilled in me a different view of things. He was a printer. I don't know if you knew that. The Poor Man's Almanac, some of the other things, but he did a lot of printing, a lot of newspaper work, and he printed under some aliases with various things that he did. And he was attacked, libeled, slandered, all kinds of things. And he says, it drives me crazy, he says, but I will defend the freedom of the press to my dying breath. He said, the truth will out. The truth will out. Jesus said it differently. He said, for all that is secret will eventually be brought into the open, and everything that is concealed will be brought to light and made known to all. Amen? Truth. So when you're thinking about what they say, find about what he said. Just focus on the truth that will out, and focus on Christ. There was this pool in Bethesda. We heard about that. Bella did a great job telling us about this pool. That pool, by the way, goes back to the 8th century before the birth of Christ. So that pool had been there a long time. The pool is still in existence. They've found it. It's quite deep. They think it might have originally been some sort of a water supply. Don't know for sure. But they say that when the water was troubled, if you were the first person into the water, after the water was troubled, you understand the word troubled is a different way of saying a ripple runs across the water. Have you ever been set just meditating, relaxing by a very still pool, and something will, the water, there'll be a ripple that will run across the water and you're not sure what it came from? That's called being troubled. The water's troubled. And if in that next instant, in this pool at Bethesda, if you were the first one into the pool, you would receive a blessing. And if you were ill, you would be cured. That's what they'd said. Now, I don't know who they are. How did that start? There's no history. There's no way to run this backwards. But there were many who were there at the pool. The ill, the lame, the blind, the paralyzed, invalids. And you have to understand that we're talking about a group of sinners. In that day and age, if you got sick, it was because you had sinned and you were being punished. If I sneeze, what is the common response? Try and cast out the sin. Bless you. Gesundheit, yeah? That's where God bless you comes from. It is because you've sinned, you're sick, and if we can cast out the sin, you'll be cured. So all of these people gathered there at the pool, they're all desperate sinners. And you can tell how badly they'd sinned by how badly they were impacted, how ill they were, how invalid they were. And Jesus goes to them. Now, if you were a good Jew, you did not hang around with sinners. You know, my mama used to tell me, don't hang around with those bad people.
It was always interesting to try and define the bad people. She always wanted to know who my friends were. You understand that. We all understand some of what's going on there. But you don't want to hang around with some of the troublemakers. They might be a bad influence. In high school, it might have been that people didn't want to hang around with me because, well, no, we won't go down that road too far. But Jesus goes to this group of sinners, invalids, the paralyzed, the sick, the ones that certainly must have sinned horribly because of their terrible infirmities. Suppose he didn't know? You suppose it was just an accident? He was just out touring and someone had said, hey, you ought to see this beautiful pool, and he just kind of chanced onto them? I don't believe that for a second, do you? There was none of that about what Jesus was about. This was about an issue of justice. Justice. And even if they were all sinners and that was causing their afflictions, even if that was true, here is the one who can redeem anyone. Now, if this is your first visit with us or you haven't been around and haven't heard all the sermons in the last 6-8 weeks, I did a sermon sometime in the past about this very bad guy. Any of you remember who it was? Saul of Tarsus. Remember him? He was a very bad guy. He persecuted Christians. He got a letter so that he could go chase Christians. He loved picking on Christians. He was really bad people. Christ redeemed him. Christ brought him back. Changed his name. He is Paul. This very bad guy who cannot be redeemed. So we go back to the pool. And here's this man who's been trying to get in the pool for 38 years. Can you imagine that? His only real hope of cure, I mean, in that day and age, medicine was not. And so here he is, and he's waiting to get in the pool, but whenever the pool is troubled and they see it, someone jumps in before him. He just can't get down there fast enough. He can't quite make it, and I don't know if it is a matter of who was placed where and which people had better access and perhaps help. But we know there's some issues of justice around that too, don't we? Have you ever had to go to the DMV? And you sit in there and you take a number and you sit in there and you sit in there. I have never seen John Elway in there. I have never seen famous rich people in there. How come that is? Do you suppose that Julia Roberts has to take a number and sit in the DMV? I don't know. I may be just casting stones where it's not fair to do so, but I bet they have a method and someone who can do that as a proxy so you don't stir up the people or something like that. I don't know. And maybe I'd like to figure out how I can make it work for me, wouldn't you? I love sitting at the DMV. Our United Methodist Conference, Keith Merriman was my first full-time appointment. He was a senior pastor. I was the associate. Fort Morgan, Colorado. Wonderful man. And he had been in the ministry since he graduated from college. One of his first appointments was in Aspen, Colorado. And he tells some lovely stories about that, traveling up there. But they have a parsonage in Aspen. Now, if you're not familiar with the United Methodist system, some churches buy a home, and they set it aside for the pastoral family. So you don't have to pay rent. The church provides that as part of your compensation and helps you to survive. And then if you are moved, you simply move from one church-owned home to another. And it was the standard system of the time. But the church owned a private residence in Aspen. The next door neighbor was Cher's residence. You know, Cher, Sonny and Cher. So you can imagine Keith being in his backyard mowing his lawn and looking over the fence, and there would be Cher's gardener mowing her lawn. Somehow I doubt we would ever see Cher mowing a lawn, do you? There's something about that. There's something about how there are different ways to be and how we are to live. DuPont is going to graduate with honors. I don't know which colleges she's applied to. I hope she is accepted. She certainly has merits, doesn't she? Merits of intelligence. We're realizing that the system has gotten a little bit twisted, that there are some who are being admitted on the merits of their parents' wealth. And that's an issue of justice, is it not? So we need to name some of these. This is Peace with Justice Sunday. And injustices are around us, and we need to recognize those and figure out where we might be able to plug in and where we might be able to apply ourselves. There are injustices based around how much money you have. There are injustices around race and ethnicity. There are injustices around educational levels. There are injustices around gender. And those are being confronted harder and harder, which is good. There are injustices based on your medical insurance, your insurability, and your medical ability to be accountable. And that's frightening. And that's tragic. There are injustices around age and aging. I was tempted to just stop and set up some tables and just have an open discussion this morning upon what injustices we see around us and how we might apply ourselves, where we might plug in and where we might be about that. And that may be something that needs to be done, but that isn't as much worship as that is doing the will and the work of the Lord, which we'll do when we leave here. Here is the man of Bethesda, 38 years at this pool. Boy, talk about a routine. He's been doing it for his generations. And Jesus sees him and walks up to him and says, "Do you want to be made well?" On the cover of it, it's just asking him, but it's a fully loaded question. It's a loaded question because we have to ask the question about the injustices in our life. Do we want to see them corrected? Or is the system, it's not right, but it's stable, and let's just not disrupt the peace. In the 80s, when I was beginning ministry, a fellow said to me, he says, "This whole issue about human sexuality," he said, "we shouldn't talk about it in the church. It just disrupts people. Let's just not talk about it." I understood exactly what he was thinking, but I understood also that justice and injustice has to be something that sometimes disrupts things. So Jesus turns to the man and says, "Do you want to be well?" And of course, he gives him the response. I try to get in the water, you know, and as soon as I see a trouble, I try and get up, but somebody always beats me to it. And Jesus takes all of the they out of it, takes the pool out of it, takes the myth out of it, that they say. Jesus said, "Take up your mat and walk." And the man does so. I would love to hear the rest of that story. I would love to hear what the man did after having laid invalid for 38 years. What's going to happen next? His life just got turned upside down. It's what we need to be thinking about with some of our injustices in our society. Some things are going to get turned up and down. At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. We don't hear it in between there, but between Jesus saying, "Do you want to be made well? Stand up and take your mat," something must have happened. Did he believe in Jesus? Was it that miracle? Something occurred there. Something life-giving. Something about justice. So the man gave up 38 years of routine. It's the way we've always done it. It's just the way things are. Today I'll get up and go to the pool again and wait. And hang around there, but for 38 years, and now it's all different. And Jesus is in the midst of that, in the midst of being about justice. And he calls us to that repeatedly. Love your neighbors as I have loved you. Because he's about injustice and about confronting it. You see, don't forget that this passage ended, this whole story, everything that Bella read, the last thing in there is Jesus did this on the Sabbath. It was unlawful to do any work on the Sabbath. It was unlawful to perform even miracles on the Sabbath. They say you're not supposed to. And Jesus stands in the midst of all of the they says and offers truth. May we hear that truth, and may it inspire us, and may we be inspired to bring about change. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and really ask that question. What does the Lord require of you? Faith We Sing, 2174. Mel, come lead us. If you were following along in 2174, that was certainly not the same answer. Michael, do I not have a microphone on? Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. This is not organized religion. We've already, oh, there we come. There's lots of mistakes that everybody can make. There's lots of things that are amiss. There are things that we get caught up in that are parts of injustice. And I always pray and worry about those. Let me not be a part of some injustice, some unfairness. God is with us, will guide us, will inspire us and lead us. And that's what happens next. Spot those injustices, spot those places and those people being unjustly treated, and be about offering Christ. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.